previously in the Brotherverse.
You New Hope style thrust your rapier into his stomach, and all of his skin just sort of erupts in a cloud of ash. You've recovered the city from its bout of darkness, but the city's still on fire.
Yeah, what's left of it.
You pick up the crown and you see the big black jewel on it, but you also notice that there is a smaller golden jewel. You run to the edge of the spire and jump off of it, and Yenri casts Featherfall. You can see the pirate ship of Captain Kudos coming at you.
Drink a powder keg, watch some Aladdin, and take a nap.
I'm looking forward to it.
So you guys, Ork, Yenri, and Puff, you find yourselves freshly landed in front of the metal gates of the city of Zomtal, and you're currently looking over the cliff at the sand sea in front of you, and the sun is shining bright. It seems like darkness has been dispelled, and you see Captain Kudo's pirate ship slowly coming towards you from the giant pillar that you guys originally set off from, where it kind of opened that void in space where you're able to leap through and be inside like the city of Zomtal area. But that you don't see any like fissure in space anymore. That red light with the slide is gone, and there's just daylight and beauty and desert in front of you.
Hooray. Can we approach the pirate ship, I guess?
Yeah, you guys just have to scale down the plateau that you're on.
Ugh.
And kind of run across some beach.
Are we not feather falling anymore?
You could feather fall more.
How long did that last? Yeah, we
just it was a minute.
Okay. We'll just have to take the long way down.
Yeah.
Guess we're walking from here.
I wish there had been a time jump and we were just at the... Shit.
Yeah.
No. Nope. Start off doing some work.
So you guys are looking down. You know that there's this like staircase that kind of runs down. Just everybody roll an athletics check, and we'll see if you're able to like climb down using rope and other things. Okay.
17.
Athletics, you said?
Yep.
16.
13.
Okay. So yeah, given that you guys have all that rope and your able bodies, you're able to scale down the staircase down to the bottom, and you make your way across the beach area that led up to the plateau and off to Captain Kudos and the pirate ship that's waiting at the edge of the sand sea. And so as you approach, you see like all the crewmen and Captain Kudos like waving at you and cheering, and they seem very, very excited to see you. And you just hear Captain Kudos yell down. It's like, "My God, boys, you made it!" It's like, "And look at this! Is this the lost city of Zomtal?"
Yeah.
Yeah, we found it.
It's not lost anymore.
I guess you're right. It's just the city
it's just
of
Zomtal.
It is a little scorched, though. Just so you know, in case you're planning a visit.
Oh, I feel like we have to plan a visit at some point. This is something that hasn't been seen by any eyes in over a millennia. Over many millennia. Who knows?
Can I like whisper something to Yenri and Puff? Is Kudo still like up on the ship?
Yeah, he's up there.
Guys, I think we promised him treasure, and there was lots of... We didn't grab any of that treasure, did we?
Oh.
Well, I put some in my pocket when the battle started.
Yeah.
And I also have, I scooped up, I have written down 8 Zomtal coins when we were fighting the zombies. So I got a little bit.
That's treasure. A treasure.
We're just telling them that's all there was.
I got like a pocket full of gold. And I mean, they're like rare city coins in like a, you know,
that's
a city
true.
That
they're
doesn't
probably
even exist
worth
anymore.
A lot.
They're probably, people will want that.
Depends how greedy he is. We'll see.
I have that gold
gem.
Let's
see what happens.
Because we're not giving him those gems we found. That's for sure.
We also have a bunch of platinum we forgot about.
That's true.
That is true.
Look what we found in our backpacks.
Yeah,
300 platinum.
I guess we'll just see what he says.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he throws a rope ladder over the edge. The ship is like pretty close to the edge. He throws a rope ladder over the edge, and then you see a couple guys jump down on some of those sand skimmers, and they rush out to the beach to meet you. And Kudo just says, like, hop on, boys, and come up to the ship. We have lots to talk about.
We do that.
Okay. Yeah, hop on board.
All right, so you hop on, and the drivers kind of pull you to the side of the ship, and you're able to climb up the rope ladder to the top. And when you do, Captain Kuz is sitting up there, and he just slaps you all on the back and says, my God, boys, this is the discovery of a lifetime. It's like, I have to know. How much treasure was up there?
God, I knew it.
There was a lot of treasure up there.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of treasure up there.
I'm pinching Yenri.
What are you doing? Like, not how you con someone.
I'm being honest. There was a lot of treasure up there. You can go get it.
This is the time for honesty. Oh.
We want to go back.
Huh? I don't want to go back. He can go.
No, I mean, yes. We need to leave. Anyway. Yeah, there was.
Like, well, boys. Like, this is an amazing discovery. We're going to leave some men here to look at the city. That's just, there's too much here
to
just run away. It's like, we'll leave some men here. And my God, this gives me so many ideas. The treasure is just the starting point. I mean, this city, this could just be a gold mine in terms of tourism. We could take this ship and bring people out here and show them the city and charge them money. My God, this is the start of a wonderful new entrepreneurial opportunity for us.
Quite the business.
This could become Captain Kudo's cruise ship, and we could tour the city of Zamtal.
That's the real treasure.
That's a great idea.
There you go. It's like, future treasure.
Wait, do we get a finder's fee?
But of course, we had a 50% agreement now, didn't we?
Yeah.
We did.
Yeah.
It's like, this is all you, boys. This is all you. I mean, my God, you're the discoverers of the city of Zamtal. They're going to sing tales about you. They're going to sing songs about you.
Ooh, I want to hear one of those songs.
It's like, my God.
Me too.
You're going to be as famous as the Salamander Man, I bet.
What?
The Slap.
Boys, don't tell me you've never heard of the Salamander Man.
I can't say I have.
Well, you're in for a treat then. He says, Tim, come over here with the hurdy-gurdy. And you see this pirate come over with a hurdy-gurdy, and he starts playing. And Captain Kudo starts jumping up and down and, like, pumping his fists to the hurdy-gurdy music. And he starts singing. Oh, Salamander Man, he's fighting through the dark land. Salamander Man, he's carrying a big-ass sword. Salamander Man, he's fighting through the land, doing everything that a Salamander Man can. Salamander Man, he's fighting the goddamn salamanders. Repeat after me, Salamander Man.
Salamander Man.
Salamander Man, he's fighting those goddamn salamanders. And so that continues for a while.
It's a catchy tune.
So he goes on for several verses, and like all the pirates start dancing to it and pulling out the goats and the beer and start mixing together some powder kegs, and you guys just sing to this. You sing and dance and enjoy like the rest of the day to the tales of the Salamander Man and his sword and him fighting across the land defeating giant salamanders. And Captain Kudos just keeps pointing at you. He's like, you're going to be famous, boys. You're going to be famous.
Wow. Puff looks a little unhappy because his mother was a salamander.
It's a very offensive song.
He doesn't want to make a scene, but he just kind of sulks the entire party.
And I lean over to Puff and go, Puff, how did your mother die, by the way?
Well, I don't remember because I don't remember the last 20 years, but I'm starting to get an idea.
And I run up to Puff, drunk off powder kegs, and go, Salamander Man, killing all the Salamanders.
And he just shrinks a little more. Slumps.
Oh, it's so sad.
So yeah, you guys party it up, because Captain Kudo is super excited for his new business idea and the fact that you're back and discovering this like lost city. And so you guys sail back on west towards Gala and just party it up. And eventually you reach the shores of Gala, and Captain Kudo's, he has your sand skimmer. He's kind of towing it behind his boat the whole time. He just says, "Boys, I hope you come back here and we can talk about this investment, but I have to thank you for everything that you've given us. And I'm a man of my word. I'm a pirate and I'm a man of my word. So don't worry. Whatever this turns out to be, I owe you 50%.
You're a good man, Kudos.
Thank you for everything.
He gives you all big hugs, and he throws the rope ladder over the side of the ship, and it leads down to your sand skimmer.
All right.
I take an upper decker before I leave because of last night.
An upper decker?
In the upper deck.
Oh.
So you poop on the ship.
Is basically, what you're saying. Yeah. I poop on the poop deck.
Cool.
Cool.
I guess that's why people swap the poop deck, so...
Yeah, some unfortunate soul will have to swap.
Why would you name it that if you want?
Like, yeah. Wait, why would you call the poop deck if that's not how it's supposed to be used?
Yeah.
Instructions.
This is mislabeled.
All right. Yeah, we climb down and hop on the skimmer and wave goodbye to Captain Kudos and the crew.
And at least focus on heading back to Gala.
Mm-hmm. And you're at the shores now, so you can see the city right in front of you. Captain Kudos is just like a couple hundred yards out with the boat. Oh.
All right.
Okay. Well, then we can start skimming back over to the junkyard, over to Jarl, so we can return the ship to him.
Okay. So yeah, so you climb on the sand skimmer and you start going towards the shore, and you're able to pull the ship up to the edge, and the edge is sort of like at the edge of the junkyard. And when you do, Jarl comes up to you, and he just like looks at the sand skimmer. He's like, "Wow, boys, you had quite the adventure out there. How did it go?"
I'd say it went well.
Right? It went pretty great. And I pull out one of my Zomtal coins and flip it to him.
Oh, he's going to freak.
Like, it's like, "Oh my God, this is going to be worth so much. Like, I'm the Duke of Fantasia now, and I have pirate gold, or I have Lost City gold." He's like, "Boys, you don't know how much you've done for me. I'm going to grow this junkyard enterprise. I'm going to be franchising it all over the kingdom."
Everybody's feeling really entrepreneurial today.
Yeah, we're really doing a number on the economy from Ardenia.
Yeah, you're like angel investors.
Thanks yeah, for the ship, by the way. This thing, it really proved itself. You know, we promised you we would spread the word of your good inventions, and you have earned that promise.
Oh, yeah, wait till Grimm hears about this.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, go back to Grimm and tell him about this. Tell him how amazing this is. His stupid little bird machines are nothing compared to this sand skimmer.
Right, you will
do.
Yeah. So he shakes your guys' hands, and he sees you off, and again thanks you for everything that you've done for him, for the gold, for going and insulting Grimm for him in the near future, and you're able to leave the city of Gaul and make your way back to your ravens and lift off into the sky. So you're gonna have a full rest at this point,
yeah.
As you're as you're flying back to the Valkyrie, and because you've had this this time to yourself where you've accomplished another talisman, like you've earned another talisman and you've fought another big boss, you feel as if your accomplishments can almost be quantified in terms of adding a number to a certain other number.
Nice and cryptic.
And so you are leveling up to level 5.
Woo!
I thought we were just going to do math.
Yeah. Yeah.
No!
3 adventurers leave Gala heading west at 300 miles per hour. But yeah, so we're gonna level up you guys.
Woo!
Alrighty. So because of the magic of talking about these things beforehand, I know you guys have already leveled your guys up. So let's start with Puff this time.
Okay.
What you got for us, Puff?
Cool. So I got plus one to my proficiency, which is pretty great. I'm not going to go into everything that changes, because it changes a bunch of numbers. But it does bring my spell attack bonus to 7 and my spell DC to 15, which is important.
Smell DC.
It's really hard to smell you now.
So that happened. And I now know 5 or 6 spells. I got a third level spell, and I have 2 spell slots for that. And the spell that I chose is Stinking Cloud.
You did get a smell DC.
Yeah. You can make a smell attack roll now. It's extra smelly.
Yeah. Wait, so, my God. Stinking Cloud. That's so great.
Yeah. I did have a bit of a...
It's very Puff.
Yeah, right? Mm-hmm. It's poison. Okay, let me read this spell description. Stinking Cloud, you create a 20-foot radius sphere of yellow, nauseating gas centered at a point within range. The cloud spreads around corners, so no one's safe, and its area is heavily obscured. The cloud lingers in the air for the duration. It lingers.
Lingers.
And each creature that is completely within the cloud at the start of its turn must make a constitution saving throw against poison. On a failed save, the creature spends its action that turn retching and reeling. So vomiting.
Oh my God.
They take the puke action. And
yeah. And a moderate wind disperses the cloud after 4 rounds. And a strong wind disperses it after 1 round.
That's funny. That's something that I actually have to remember now is like
how
strong
windy
the
it
wind
is. How windy, yeah. Is there a strong wind? Then my stinking cloud blows away. So I did have a hard time. I was going to choose. It was between this and something very similar. Gaseous form. Which was that I can basically turn someone into a stinking
fart.
Gas.
Guiji?
Yeah.
Guiji. You can make a Guiji?
Yeah, exactly.
I more think of like Fart from Rick and Morty.
Yeah.
That one episode.
Oh, yeah.
The gaseous being.
So that would have been fun. But instead I chose to fart. Magically.
Yeah. That's good. That's on character.
Bring on the fart jokes.
Yeah.
And you can cast Stinking Cloud and then cast Enlarge on the Stinking Cloud and make an enormous stinking cloud.
Make it 4 times bigger and 8 times heavier.
Yeah.
All right.
I think that's it.
Awesome. It's a tough act to follow up, guys. So let's do Orc next.
I am just an absolute unit now. If I wasn't hulked out before, I am like extreme. I'm Mecha Hulker. It's ridiculous. So my proficiency went up by 1. I also got extra attack, which means that I can attack a second time every turn. Every time I attack, I can now attack twice.
My
what? With no penalty.
He's
dope.
Just a monster now.
Does that mean he just gets 2 actions, period, or is it specifically an attack?
I think it's just when you take the attack action, you get to
you
use
get 2.
The
oh my that's God. Still, that's yeah. dope.
Yenri, we're going to get to just like sit back and relax during battle now.
I'm just going to rage, reckless attack twice every time.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
The damage powerhouse.
Insane.
And then I also got fast movement, so my speed increases by 10 feet as long as I'm not wearing heavy armor.
Nice.
Which you'll always
be naked.
Which
is also ridiculous.
Yeah.
Now you can run 40 feet to just like double slash.
yeah.
anybody.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god, that's
it's
terrifying.
Insane.
It's crazy.
And now with your like shark thing too, you can swim at 40 feet per round.
That's right.
God, he's like a fucking piranha.
Yeah.
Just speeds in and devours.
Hulk yeah. piranha. Yeah. You mean like
Tasmanian
a shark?
Tasmanian devil.
Like a shark.
Like a yeah. shark, yes. Yeah. I mean,
yeah. He's like a bigger piranha.
I just thought because of the speed, but I guess sharks are actually really fast, too.
Yeah. I think so. All right. Is that it for you?
That's, yep. And then my health went up, of course. So I'm at cool. 57 hit points now.
Ooh. Oh, shoot. Okay. Hold on. I forgot Tankman. About that. What do you add? Sorry, I have to go back and do my damage. What do you add to the
Constitution, right?
Yeah, it's your yeah. hit die plus your Constitution modifier.
Okay. I have 6 more health, so I'm at 33.
Cool.
All right, let's move on to Yenri.
Sweet. I also had my proficiency bonus go up, which means my spell attack bonus is now at 6. My spell save DC is now at 14. All my other... I have lots of proficiency... see in skills, so a lot of my skills are like plus 6 now, which is sweet.
Yeah, jack of all trades, man.
Yeah, it's really helpful. I also rolled for my hit points. I'm now at 32 health, so I'm still just barely the weakest one. I also got another bardic inspiration die, and now I have a d8 as a bardic inspiration die, so I can hand out a d6 yeah. a d6 and or a d8 at any time. Or I can use the thing that I keep forgetting that I have. That's the cutting words, where I can, like, as a reaction, use one of my own bardic inspiration dies to, like, counteract someone else's thing on me. So I need to remember to do that. But now I have two opportunities, a d6 or a d8, to do that.
Wait, so, like, if someone attacks you and rolls a 20, you can subtract from their roll?
Yeah.
Oh.
You, I'm supposed to, in fiction, it's supposed to be, like, I use, like, cutting words to like insult them or like basically hurt their like ego yeah. or their attention span or something. yeah, and so now I have two opportunities to do that. And then I also got more spells. I now know 8 spells, and I got 3rd level spells. But I can't decide which 3rd level spell to get.
So, what are you debating between?
There's one called Bestow Curse, where I can just curse people. And
Bestow Curse is pretty dope.
Yeah, and it can like make them have disadvantage on attacks or like disadvantage on ability checks or multiple other things that I want. And it lasts mm-hmm. for like a minute. But the last one that I really like is there's one called Liamun's Tiny Hut.
That's a spell.
Yes. Yeah. And I just make like a little 9-foot dome wherever we want, and it like protects us from like all weather or attacks, and like we're just safe in a little like bubble, and we're good from weather and like everything else.
Little Fort Yenri.
Exactly. Make Fort Yenri everywhere we go.
Why isn't it just called like Dome? What is it called?
Liamun's
because we
tiny
live in a
hut.
Fantasy world and things have stories behind them.
Yeah.
Liamun's Tiny Hut. I love that.
And I like that when you're inside, you can command the interior to become dimly lit or dark if you want. So you can like turn out the lights just inside the dome.
Oh, man. And then, get some mood lighting going.
Yeah. And the dome is opaque from the outside and can be any color I want it to be. But we can see through it from the inside if we want.
I like that little addition that you yeah. can like be an interior or exterior decorator, basically. I'm like, you know, I feel yeah. like we're going to do a little blue today.
Yeah.
That sounds fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So I can get that one. It's just very utilitarian. But I don't know, the curse one sounds pretty dope. It's kind of like the opposite of like the enhance ability that I can do for one of us. I can just curse someone else.
Yeah, it sounds pretty useful.
Seems pretty cool. All right. So for now, yeah, I'll take Bestow Curse.
Sweet. Yep, that's it. Well, man, I feel like level 5, you guys really got a lot more powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Mainly thanks to Chris and his now crazy berserker status.
Yep. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Hopefully we fought yeah. the bosses out of order and we can just like destroy the next one with one hit.
All right. So, yeah, you guys are on your ravens and you are flying back to the Valkyrie, and like dawn is breaking again, and you kind of fly down underneath the clouds and see again the familiar like forest covering that you know the Valkyrie lies beneath. You you break the barrier and you start flying towards the deck of the Valkyrie. And as you start coming in, you notice that at the opening to the hangar, there's a big table set up with some like diagrams and other paper. And you see Grim, Sage, and Fira standing around it chatting. And so you fly down and you land your ravens on the deck of the Valkyrie and walk up to them, and they turn around. And Sage walks towards you once you're fully stopped and says, "Welcome back, gentlemen. I am very interested to hear how your quest went."
"Terrible. We didn't get anything."
Roll a persuasion check. Deception. Roll a deception check.
I'm very bad at that. Crit failure.
So she just laughs wildly. She's like, "I can tell by the look in your eye that you have something that you want to show me."
"Oh, yeah, I'm messing with you. we found Zomtal, and we found a crazy dragon with a crown that had these on him." And I hold out the gold and dark jewels.
"My God, I knew that I could depend on you." And she holds the jewels in her hands like, "I assume that this dark one has to be the talisman of darkness, but this gold one, I have no idea what it might be. I'm going to deliver these to Percy immediately so he can have Iser and May study them, and we can maybe figure out more of the powers that lie within these, or what this gold one might even be."
"Maybe it's a talisman of goldness."
It's very possible. Maybe there's a legend we didn't
read
about.
Maybe you guys miscounted. Yeah,
it's a two for one deal.
Oh, there was eight. There's another list item below the fold. I missed it. But yeah, so she walks over to Fira and says, "Fira, if you could please deliver these to Percy, it would be much appreciated." And Fira just bows her head and takes the gems and runs into the hangar towards the staircase that leads back down into the Valkyrie. And Sage turns back around to you and she says, "I must say, you guys returned at a very opportune time. We have some issues on another mission that we had that has kind of gone south to a certain extent. We had a few operatives that we had sent out to the city of Vanguard. It's a metropolis that lies to the south of Bellion. And the operatives were investigating a group of gangsters who work very closely with Lord Orthgard. They had been there for a few weeks and were relaying information back to us, and their communication has gone cold. And we need to send in some more people to help out and hopefully find them and recover what might be left, or at least to figure out their whereabouts and reestablish communication. Would you boys be able to help with this?"
"Of course.
That's what we're here
for. I think so."
"Fantastic. Yeah. Well, as I said last time, I'll deposit 100 platinum into each one of your quote-unquote bank accounts."
"Again?"
"And, yeah, I mean, you've recovered another talisman, so we are indebted to you.
And this time, I'm writing it down right away."
"Mm-hmm." "My God, are we really rich now?"
"I think so.
Yeah.
Can we go back to Alfred and rub it in his face?"
"Yeah, how about them gumdrops now?"
"We're rich until this economy starts booming because of all the new tourist attractions."
"Yeah, just driven inflation and made our money worthless."
"You guys have just started like an industrial revolution by discovering a few things and a few people starting businesses."
"Man, it's easy to run an economy."
"Yeah." Sage nods at you and she says, "Thank you for accepting. I'd say I know that you boys have been very busy, but it would be best for us to leave for this mission tomorrow. Luckily, the Festival of Light begins in Vanguard tomorrow, and so multiple tourists and other people are going to be entering the city for this festival. It's going to be the perfect cover to have us go in and try and find our other operatives. So we will have to set forth first thing in the morning."
"Okay.
All right.
There's one thing we might have to do before we go."
What is that?
I just turn to the guys and I say, we promised Grimm that we would do something for him, and we never actually did it.
That's true.
Are you talking about fucking with a certain someone?
Yeah.
I am a man of my word.
I feel bad that we never upheld our end of the bargain.
What are we?
We can always do it another time too, but I mean, we can hold it real quick.
No, we've waited long enough.
Is it about dinner time?
It's morning right now.
Oh,
so
it's about breakfast time.
So we got a whole day.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, well, we got time.
Oh, we can. Grimm is standing right there. By the way, he's at the table looking over a bunch of diagrams.
Hey, Grimm.
Hey, how you doing, guys? I'm so happy to see you back here. And man, Sage, aren't these guys the best? They keep getting stuff for you. He's like, yes, Grimm. Yes, that is true. Thank you.
Keep getting stuff.
And so Sage says, like, I thank you, boys. I think Grimm actually has a few things that he wants to talk to you about. So I will leave you together, and I'm going to return to the helm. Good day, and thank you.
Goodbye.
Yeah, and Sage, like, bows to you a little bit and walks back off into the hangar. And Grimm says, yeah, I know you guys have been working hard, but in preparation for this mission and a few other things, I actually could use a little help with something.
Oh. Yeah. What is it?
Yes. So I'm getting some gear together for the mission, but there's actually a new invention that I just got ready that I would love to test out if you could help me out with it.
Oh yeah,
for sure. Mm-hmm.
It's like I think you guys are gonna love this. It's gonna be super fun for you. So he starts walking towards the hangar, and he like waves with his arm for you guys to follow, and he walks in the hangar past like some vats that hold that orange liquid. And you can see like some little objects in there that you assume are some more ravens growing. And you can still hear like the rhythmic pulsing of the ship's like circulatory system. And at the end of the hangar, you see this giant cylindrical metal structure that's like 60 feet tall and probably like 60 to 80 feet wide. And on the front of this chamber is a big like door, like a bulkhead door with a giant wheel. And out of the sides, there's all these pipes and electrical wires like plugged into different areas of this like giant silo. And he says, boys, this is my latest creation. This is the trainer chamber. I designed it to help train our operatives to get ready for random encounters. So basically what you're going to be helping me with is testing it out. You're going to go in the chamber here, and it's basically going to create a random encounter for you, some random bad guys that you're gonna have to fight. You think you're up for it?
All of us at the same time?
Yeah, all of you at the same time.
Whoa.
Oh boy.
And is it actually, like, can we get hurt?
Yeah, you can get hurt, but I'm at the control panel here, so if things get too dicey, I can always help you out, but I don't think you're gonna have any trouble.
Dicey.
I mean, look at you guys. Look how strong you look.
Yeah, I'm a plus one-ified on my mental numbers, as you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, you look quantifiably at one point better than you were like last time I saw you.
Exactly.
You guys are gonna do great.
So yeah, maybe set the dial on this thing to 5. If there's a, you know, 5
okay.
out of 20.
Yeah, like a difficulty level for 4 level 5 adventurers or 3 level 5 adventurers.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, I can do that. So he walks over to the door, and he spins the wheel and opens it up, and then he holds his hand. He's like, all right, time to enter the trainer chamber. Get on in there.
Okay. Let's do it. Grimm invented VR technology.
Can we? Well, let's all walk in slow motion, and I'll drop a stinking cloud behind us. There's some smoke.
You're supposed to fuck with Jim, not Grimm.
Don't stink up this chamber when all of us are in it.
It's like farting in an elevator.
Enclosed space. With great power comes great responsibility.
Oh my.
All right, so you enter the trainer chamber, and when you walk in, it basically, like, it's a giant white room, and you can see that it's lined with these white tiles, so it kind of looks like a giant grid system in there, but it's kind of hard to determine, like, how big the space is once you're in there. It's kind of, it looks like an infinity wall to a certain extent. So you guys walk in, and you hear the door slam behind you, and the, like, locking mechanism of the wheel lock into place. And then you hear Grim over an intercom say,
"All right, boys, you ready for this?"
"Maybe."
"Sure. Ready as I'll ever be."
"All right, this is the first time I've really spun it up, so hopefully everything goes okay."
It's going to be like that book where the dude turns half fly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fly? Story.
The fly.
That's the one.
Ah, yes.
You know that book right about the fly? What's that called?
Is it called The Man?
Also, yeah.
No.
Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah. Oh, man, I hope it makes Jeff Goldblum.
Yeah. We fight Jeff Goldblum?
Jeff Goldblums.
So half fly Jeff Goldblum?
Yeah.
Fly Goldblum.
All right, so you're standing in there, and you hear a big whirring sound all of a sudden, like there's a bunch of machinery running behind you, and then you see the tiles start to flicker, like they're giving off this sort of white light, and they start to flicker, and then this effect sort of happens where it almost looks like the white is dissolving before your eyes, and you're now standing in what looks like a city, but it doesn't quite look right. It almost looks like you're standing in like a model city where everything's made out of like plastic and clay, and there's little like people that are your size, but they're like figurines. So it almost looks like you're in like a model train set or something like that. And you hear a train go by, and it's like puffing out a little bit of smoke, and its wheels are whirring, and it starts spinning around you. And there's these purple crystals on it that are, like, pulsing as the wheels move. You start hearing a ruckus from one of the, like, plastic buildings. And out of it burst out this, like, furry llama-looking thing. And it has, like, a tall neck and tall legs, but it has this giant snout coming off of it, and it has like this anteater like tongue that's sticking out and just kind of dragging along the ground, and he flicks it occasionally towards you like he's smelling you or something, and he locks eyes with you, and on his back is a giant brush, like a hairbrush, and he reaches around with his neck. And he grabs the hairbrush and he looks at you with his tongue flickering and this giant hairbrush in his mouth. And he starts sprinting towards you. And with that, roll initiative.
I'd say it's working perfectly, Grim.
Yeah. Yeah. Henry glances back towards where the door was and just like, "What the fuck, Grim? How does this emulate a real situation?"
Yeah, this will prepare us for real battles.
All
18.
Right.
18? I got 18 also.
17.
You can go first if you want.
Yeah, who wants to go first?
Sure, I'll go.
Okay. So, Orc, you're up first.
So how far away is it?
It's like 30 feet from you. A very convenient distance away.
Hey, I can go up to 40 now. Right. Can I try to just run up, grab the brush and start brushing it?
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe it just wants to be brushed. Maybe it's tangled.
With a crazy look in its eye, it approaches and just goes, "Brush me!
Brush!"
I'm so disheveled.
All right, so, yeah, you can run up and roll a strength check to see if you can pull the brush out of its mouth.
17.
Okay, yeah, you're able, so you put two hands on this giant hairbrush and you pull it out of his mouth, and you hear him make this like weird sound like And then he flicks his tongue at you, and you're standing there with the hairbrush.
Ugh.
So that's going to be your action. So, Yenri, you're going to be next.
Okay. I'm going to run up to it as well. I can only make it like 25 feet, though. So, I guess from 5 feet away, I'll just cast Mage Hand to pet the llama.
All right.
It's a petting zoo simulation. Yeah. This is delightful.
Just down its head and long neck.
Okay. All right. So you do that, and your mage hand appears out of thin air, and it flies over to the llama and starts petting it. And roll an animal handling check.
Okay. It's a 5.
It's a 5? Okay, so the mage hand goes over and it just starts like slapping the llama really hard instead of petting it. And so the llama like rears on its hind legs and lets out a weird noise again and like comes down and like shakes its head and starts looking a bit angry. It's like stomping its hooves and flicking its tongue around angrily. All right, Puff, it's your turn.
Well, my llama's always like that.
I'm so torn as to whether I should just attack this thing or not. It technically hasn't done anything.
I mean, this is a simulation too, I guess. We're caring a lot about this made-up virtual llama.
Yeah, but simulated or not.
I love him. Don't hurt him.
He's a fuzzy llama.
Did you say fuzzy or fussy?
Both, I guess. Yeah. I'm going to use reduce on the llama to make him half his size.
No, my God, it's adorable.
So now he's a pygmy llama. Yeah.
All right, is there anything I have to roll to challenge that?
He has to succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
Okay, cool.
Ooh, that's a wise llama.
Yeah, is he super wise? That's a 9. I assume that fails.
Yeah, it does fail.
All right. So, yeah, you see the llama. He's, like, prancing around angrily, just suddenly, like, phew, just go down to half his size. And now he's just a little tiny angry llama.
Oh.
You put
his
him in my pocket.
Is so cute. Right. Now you're going to fucking crush him with that brush.
I know. I was just saying, I'm going to have to resist the urge to do that. That's, like, orcs.
It's my
instinct now.
Yeah. Like a pinata.
Yeah. So so now it's the llama's turn. So it rears on its legs and it prances over to Orc and he raises his hooves and he hits you in your shin.
Ah!
And I this definitely beats your AC. So he hits you with his two hooves just right in your shin. And that does 8 points of damage.
Oh my god.
Wow.
Little llama bean. Now I'm definitely crushing you with this brush. Yeah.
Now your shin is bleeding a little bit.
Oh my god.
While reduced, he does do 1d4 less damage.
Okay. Yeah, I ended up cutting it in half. I figured there was something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Never mind.
Cool.
It's my turn?
Yep. Now it's Orc's turn.
Yeah, I'm going to smash him with this brush.
Smash him with a hammer.
Twice. I can attack twice. I'm going to smash him twice with his brush.
Smash me.
Bam, bam.
Do you want to hit him bristle side down or like the back of the brush side
Both.
Down?
Both. I'll do one time with bristles and then flip it and...
You brush, brushing damage.
Brush hit, brushed it. Yeah, you deal 14 bristle damage.
What kind of brush is this? Is
it stiff horse hair?
Yeah, this is like a horse brush. Definitely stiff bristles.
It's not 1d8. It's got a handle softy on it. Damage.
Yeah. Keep this brush when I'm done.
It's not a real brush. You must understand. No. It's all fake.
So realistic, Grim. All right, I'm smashing little llama bean.
Okay.
Oh. Little llama bean.
Do it. Roll an attack roll.
I don't know what to roll.
I mean, just roll. Do an attack roll at first.
Oh, yeah.
Just add your strength? Is that what he does?
Yeah.
So 14.
And you're not proficient in brush, so no proficiency bonus for you.
All right, so that's a 14 on the first one and a 16 on the second one.
Okay, both of those are going to hit. So you raise this giant hairbrush in the air and you land it down on the little tiny llama and you just hear like a little squeaking noise as you like hit it. Like, and roll a d8 and add your strength for each hit.
Okay. 11 and 12.
Oh my god.
Okay. That's a lot. Hey.
God, Orc would have just killed me in one attack of the brush.
With a brush. Watch out, Yenri.
I know, I guess I would have been quite dead, but I would have been pretty damn close.
I'm not dead yet.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, he's the little llama looks like really angry now. He's, like, just jumping up and down, and comical little, like, smoke balls are appearing above his head to show that he's angry.
Does his hair look straighter, though?
He does look well groomed.
The bristles just split and perfectly brushed him.
Yeah.
But then when I hit him with the other side, it got all tangled again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For a moment, he had a perfect part.
All right, Yenri, you're up.
Okay. I'm just going to take out my long sword and slash him.
Okay. All right,
sorry.
Make an attack roll as you run up to him.
Cut open this little guy. Sorry. Well, I guess not sorry, because that's only a 6.
Okay, you try to slash, but he's so small that you just kind of like whiff to the side of him. He dodges out of the way. Extreme little llama agility.
I probably knew in my heart of hearts I couldn't slice a tiny llama bean.
Yeah. Llama bean. Your just care for small creatures is just too much.
Yeah.
All right. So, Puff, that's your turn next.
Time to light him up. I'm going to use Firebolt.
And he is definitely flammable. Let's do this.
Yeah.
That is a crit 20.
Oh, God. Nice. All right. So, yeah, you wave your hands and this bolt of fire erupts from your fingertips and goes and hits the little llama, and he's basically completely engulfed in flames.
Woo! Should I do damage?
Yep.
Okay. And I now... Oh, this is a cool thing. Now at 5th level, it's 2d10 instead of 1d10.
Oh, my God. And you and you double that on a crit.
Oh, wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that. All right, well, that is... and do I... I always forget about this. Do I add my spell?
No.
Okay. Well, nonetheless, this is 30.
30? So, the fire erupts and engulfs the llama, and when the flames disappear, it's like one of those, like... It looks like a naked chicken almost, like a roasted chicken, only in like llama form. And it just like sits there sizzling for a second and then falls down. And yeah, it's just like a little teeny, tiny roasted llama. And as that happens, you see the world around you like glitch out and you're returned to the tiled room. And you hear Grim come over the intercom. He's like,
"Oh my God, boys, I was able to see all of that. That was amazing. You really showed that llama who's boss. How'd that feel? Did that feel pretty realistic, or?"
It felt cruel.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant to create?
I mean, I didn't create it. It's a random generator.
Oh.
Are most of the things that are generated, like, cute little animals that we have to...
I don't know. I haven't ran this thing enough times to know, so well, I guess we'll see.
Oh.
Man, you stopped it before I could taste the roast llama.
Yeah.
Ow. Ow?
Oh. That was Yenri looking at Orc in disgust and confusion.
All right, so Grimsay's like,
Are you guys ready to to maybe try one more of these. I want to crank up the difficulty a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Bring it on.
All right.
Is there a safe word? How much are you cranking it up?
Yeah. What do you want to yell at me if you're uncomfortable?
Constantinople.
I'm uncomfortable. I'm Constantinople.
Constantinople.
Unconstantinople.
All right. Well, if anything sounds remotely like that, I guess I'll stop it.
All right, so you hear, he's like,
all right, so here we go again.
And you hear a whirring that gets, like, more violent around you, and you see the white kind of tiles dissipate again. And you're standing at the top of a cliff, like this giant plateau, and beneath you, you see, like, waves everywhere. So you're at, like, it's like a 60-foot round plateau that is just jutting out of the water, and in the distance you can see all these like black cliffs and spires coming out of the water, and there's clouds above you, and it's raining torrentially, and there's lightning striking down around you, and in the center of this plateau you see this giant winged figure that's kind of nested at the middle of this plateau. And it raises its head, and you see that it looks like a giant eagle with a tiger's head. And it stands up slowly, and his feet are these giant pawed tiger claws, and it has this huge wingspan that is like 60 feet wide. It's this giant bird-tiger hybrid. And it like lets out a roar at you and starts walking towards you. So roll for initiative.
A bird tiger.
Call it an eager.
17.
All right.
A biger.
Where's the B come from?
Bird.
Illegal.
Oh. Illegal.
Illegal. That thing is illegal.
All right. So Yenri, you are first.
Okay. That's the one unfortunate thing about the spells I just took is that I have to touch the thing. So I gotta get real close to use it.
Go ahead, Yenri.
But how far away is he?
He is, like, I said that this whole thing is, like, 60 feet wide, so you guys are only, like, 15 feet from this thing.
Cool. Okay. Yeah, I'll run, like, I'll just run right towards it and try to cast Bestow Curse on it.
All right. Get right in there.
Yeah. And I'm going to curse it so that my attacks deal an extra 1d8 necrotic damage every time I hit it.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So he is weak to Yenri now.
Cool.
Super effective against illegals. Right.
And I don't have to save anything to see if that works out. It's just automatic.
He does have to succeed on a wisdom saving throw, actually. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Cool. And 14 is your DC.
So he succeeds on that. You reach out and touch him, and he just like rustles his feathers around, and it doesn't seem to take effect.
And I look up and give a little grin and go, because now I'm just at the foot of a giant tiger eagle.
Yeah.
With
so
nothing
next
to
is...
show for it.
Next is the tiger eagle. And so he looks down at you and like cocks his head really quickly and then like reaches down with his mouth and bites you.
Ouch.
And he tries to bite you, but you nimbly dodge out of the way. And he reaches out with one of his like tiger claws, one of his like talon claws, and he tries to swipe at you.
Oh, he's got double attacks too.
And he tries to swipe, but he gets all weirdly off kilter. And you see him like comically rotate his arms like he's losing balance. And he falls to the ground as he tries to attack you with his claw.
And I look at my hands and I'm like, maybe that curse did work. I don't
Yeah. Oh, this one's cute too.
Yeah. He's the silly kitty. Yeah. He just wants belly pets.
Where's that brush? I want that brush.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, that's what's happening right now. So next is Orc.
All right. I'm going to rage for this one. And I'm going to just give it the old 1-2 combo with my double great axe attack.
Nice.
Do it up.
Ooh. First one's a 9. Second one is a 10.
All right. So you go up to the silly kitty and you swipe your great axe twice, and it just seems to like graze through his feathers, but you don't seem to hit like the meat of him.
Oh, bad aim.
Sorry. And yeah, so he's still rolling around on the ground, and it is Puff's turn.
I am going to use Stinking Cloud. Let's put that new spell to use.
Right on top of all of us.
There's so little space that's not the plateau.
Oh, is it only 20 feet wide?
It's a 60 foot wide, so it's a 30 foot radius plateau, and I know your stinking cloud is a 20 foot radius, so it's gonna be a lot of it.
Well, I'll put it like,
but do it
off the edge by 20 feet. No, 10 feet.
All right,
off center.
Whatever's within distance of him and not of us.
Okay, so you put it like at the edge of the plateau, kind of behind him.
Yes. That's okay. What I do.
Awesome.
And I, so, yeah, but first I turn to Orc and I say, pull my finger.
Shh. What was that character's name?
The Spleen?
The Spleen. The Spleen.
Oh, nice. Mystery Men.
S-B-D.
Oh, my God.
Here we go.
Good movie.
Great movie. Yeah, it was a good movie.
I watched that again recently, and I was like, oh, I'm worried this isn't going to hold up, but I appreciated it more than I ever have.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm so happy
still
to hear
so
that.
Good.
I got to go watch it again.
That's awesome. All right. So you lay down that cloud, and
you lay waste to the land.
it erupts behind the tiger bird. And what is the effect of that exactly? Like how damage and everything else?
It has to make a constitution saving throw. On a failed save, creature has takes his next turn retching and reeling.
Okay. What's the spell save DC?
15.
Okay. So the cloud goes and you hear him like cough and stuff, but it doesn't seem to be like writhing any more than he already was. He's starting to stand back up.
Oh. Damn.
So, at that moment, you hear like a giant crack as a thunderbolt appears like off in the distance, and then you see like another flash of light like right in front of you, and everybody roll a dexterity saving throw.
Danger sense work on this?
Yep.
25.
Wow.
11.
Wow.
16.
Okay. So a lightning bolt comes and strikes, like, right in the middle of all you guys, and you all jump out of the way as it crashes in and spews rocks everywhere from where it hit. So you guys you're all okay. Next is going to be Yenri.
Okay. If I get right next to him now, mm-hmm. How far away are Orc and Puff since they just dove? Are they at least 15 feet away from him now, or are they close?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to go jump right up under him and use Thunder Wave.
Okay.
And try to get in on this thunder and lightning action.
Nice.
He has to make a constitution saving throw.
Okay. And what's your spell save, DC?
14.
Okay, so he fails.
Sweet. So I get to do 2d8. Six, so 8 damage, and he's pushed away 10 feet. And I guess I got kind of down in front of him, so I guess it's gonna shoot him like back and maybe up a bit,
just farther into the cloud.
Yeah, yeah. And it's 10 feet away.
Keep pushing him off the platform.
Yeah,
King of the Hill. I guess he can probably fly.
So yeah, you jump in front of him and you play this like dope chord on your lute, and this pressure wave comes out from you and it pushes him farther into the noxious cloud of gas. And next is going to be the bird's turn. So you hear him get up, and he runs back towards Yenri and takes flight, and he tries to grasp you, Yenri, with his claw. So roll a strength check.
13.
Okay. So like it comes down and tries to grab you with its like tiger claws, sort of. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know, tries to pin you with the two of them together, I guess. It's not the same as a talon, so I guess that doesn't work as well. It tries to grab you with its little paws, and you just like squeeze away and like avoid getting grabbed by it. So it's just floating kind of right next to you now. And as you try and squeeze away, he goes down with his mouth and tries to bite you. And so he's able to bite down on you, and he does 16 piercing damage.
Oof.
Whoa.
Jesus.
Whoa.
That was half my health.
Uh-oh.
All right. Now it's Orc's turn.
I kind of want to try to jump on this thing's back and ride it, but I also feel like I should kill it. But it is a simulation.
That's a good point.
I want to be mother of tiger eagles.
Hey, live that dream.
I'm gonna try to ride it.
Okay.
So it's kind of hovering next to Yenri right now, right?
Yep.
So I'm gonna try to like run up and climb its fur, jump and climb its fur onto its back.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, and you have enough movement speed that you can definitely try and get up to like the top of its back. So roll a strength check to see if you can climb this thing.
No! That's a one.
Oh, no. It's a one? Okay. So you run up and like grab its leg like a pole and just slide down the fur back onto the ground. And now you're just sitting underneath it.
How demoralizing.
Yeah, it's
someone
super
else
embarrassing.
Go. Get it.
Attack Man, we it. Look like a bunch of fucking toddlers out here on this one.
Everyone's just rolling around. There's just fart gas everywhere.
I just wanted to hug the kitty.
It looks and smells like a daycare in here. All right. Puff, you're next.
I'm going to use magic missile, so there is no chance that I will miss. So, that happens. And that is... 5, 8, 12.
12 damage.
Mm-hmm.
Damn, that's a lot. Alright, so yeah.
Sorry, wait.
You raise
was
your
it,
hand.
Was it plus, is it Ooh. Plus 1 or plus 2? Sorry, it's 9 damage.
9 damage? Okay. Cool. Alright, so yeah, you lift your hands up and these missiles come out and they hit him square in his feathery chest. And he's still looking totally fine, though. Yeah, and next is going to be Yenri.
I'm going to, since Orc is right next to me, I'm going to yell to him and say, Orc, I've got an idea.
Okay.
I can up that damage on your axe with some heat metal. So when you take your attack in a minute, I'll heat up your axe so that you can just slice it with a steaming hot blade.
Ooh. Sounds epic.
Does yours have a handle, like a some sort of handle, so this isn't going to hurt your hands?
Yeah, I don't think it's a full metal forged axe.
Yeah, I didn't think so, but you know, you never tell with Orc. So, all right, yeah, I'll cast heat metal on Orc's axe to make the tip of it glowing red hot.
Mm. Okay, awesome. So yeah, you reach out your hands and his axe glows like white hot from the heat metal, and it's little steam's coming off as the raindrops hit it.
Nice. So when you use that, I'll add 2d8 fire damage to it.
Nice.
Ooh.
Sick. All right. So the bird, it's his turn now, and he's going to reach down with his claws and try and grab Yenri again. So roll another strength check.
Okay. It's an 11.
Okay, so this time he's able to grab you in his talons, and he reels back and just tries to throw you.
Okay.
Like off the cliff.
Okay.
And so he tosses you.
And then I take out my medallion and push it to my chest. Yeah?
Did you take it off? You didn't say you took it off of Wenry when you landed.
Well, I assume I would take it everywhere I go, because we didn't really play out the
we
leaving the birds part. Yeah.
All right. That's fair. Okay. We'll say that that's a given.
Okay.
So we'll get back to that when it's your turn. But as of right now, you're flying through the air towards the edge of the cliff, about to fall off.
Okay.
All right. So it's Orc's turn next.
So Yenri flies in slow motion during our next whole round of turns.
It's 6 seconds. Yeah.
I think I'm going to try to climb it. I'm just kidding. I'm going to use my great axe.
All right.
So I sit there for a second, pondering what my handle's made of now that Yenri's brought it up. And then I attack twice with my flaming hot.
All right.
Bertha.
Roll those attack rolls.
Fresh hot axe. Get your fresh hot axes here.
All right. First one is a 12.
Ooh.
And then a 19.
Okay, so the first one, you swipe through the air, and it's able to move its legs out of the way so you don't hit it, but the second one hits square in its leg, and you hear just, like, sizzling as it cuts into its flesh. So roll damage.
No. I'm just rolling all kinds of ones today. So that's still 1 plus 7 plus Yenri's 8.
It's one. So, it's 2d8, and I only rolled a 3.
Okay, so that's 11 total.
Wow.
I rolled a 1.
Oh,
and
no,
a
no,
2
sorry.
With my
sorry,
D8.
Plus
we're
my rage.
Floundering.
That's 13 total.
13. That's 13. Not terrible. Okay.
Compared to the potential, okay. That's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It could have been way more. Way more. Yeah, so you hear the sizzling of the flesh as your axe cuts through it. Puff, it's your turn next.
All right. Time to use.
Oh, shit. I need to roll for the gas.
Oh, does that keep going?
I mean, it does. You know what? It would be windy. It would be windy here. It's like a raining storm, so the gas would have dispersed.
Oh, like a strong wind?
I would say it's very likely a strong wind because it's a storm. Sorry, buddy.
Boo. Okay. Well, I think that I'm going to use Firebolt again. Tried and true.
All right.
And that... 17 on the roll.
That hits.
Woo. Oh, shit. I forgot that the 10 on a D10 is 0. I thought I just rolled a 0. I was like, that's incredibly unfortunate.
Worse than a crit. Yeah.
That's a 13.
Nice. All right. So, yeah, it singes off a bunch of his feathers. And as you do that, you see one of his wings, like, drop a little bit, and he drops back down to the ground because his wings all burnt, like, now. So, Yenri, you are next, and you're currently flying through the air.
I take out my medallion and press it to my chest so I can start flying.
Okay, you hear Wenry, like, in your head. You feel him, and you then stop in midair as you, like, gain the power of flight.
And I want to basically just, like, catch myself and do a little backflip in the air and turn around and charge right at him and take out my rapier and just go straight for his face.
I just think of, like, Dragon Ball Z when they, like, lift off. There's, like, the smoke and, like, pressure wave that comes behind them.
Yeah.
It's a total Dragon Ball Z moment.
Heck yeah.
All right. Yeah, do that.
Flying rapier attack is a 10.
Woo.
10? Yeah, that misses. So you are kind of knocked off kilter by the wind, and you go zooming past him.
Whoosh.
Whoosh. All right, so next is the bird. So Yenri, like, flies right past him, and the bird just kind of dodges its head out of the way. And then it looks at Puff and Orc, and he goes down low to the ground, and he charges the two of you towards the cliffside. So make a strength saving throw.
I get advantage because I'm raging.
I only got a 5.
Jesus. I got a 11.
Okay. So he charges the two of you and hits you, and basically you get like stuck in his feathers, and he keeps going off the side of the cliff and stops, and you guys start falling towards the water.
Oh, no.
And so the bird is off the edge of the platform right now, and Orc, it's your turn.
How far? Sorry, I have a reaction that I can use, but how far away are they?
From you, they're probably 40 feet now.
Oh, really? Not that far. Okay.
Yeah.
So as a reaction, I can cast Featherfall, so I can keep you guys from dying. So
the slow death.
Yeah. So Yenri saw them get knocked off the cliff behind him, and as they go over, he reaches out his hand from up in the air and casts Featherfall on them so that they'll slow fall into the rocky, wavy waters below.
Nice. It's going to take forever now of them just slowly falling.
Yeah. yeah, so I can cast it on both of them.
All right. Sounds good. So, yeah, they start falling, and they're slowed to 10 feet per round.
Yeah. Okay. That's all right.
We just chat on the way down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now the bird is just hovering at face level to you.
Yeah.
How far am I from the bird now?
I mean, you're still kind of tangled up in the bird right now.
Oh.
Like, you're like, pressed against its feathers, and you're still, like, kind of attached to it in a way.
Tangled up in bird.
Can I just grab the bird?
Yeah, you can try. Make a dexterity check.
19.
Okay. Yeah, you're able to latch onto that bird's feathers.
Right.
And I would say that that's like an object interaction, so you can still make an attack if you want.
All right, well, I'm hanging onto his feathers. I'm going to slash with my great axe.
All right.
Twice.
Can you do that? Like a great axe while holding onto a bird? Oh. Are you just clutching him with your thighs?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll say that you can make one attack with this because you're kind of off kilter.
Yeah, well, I already rolled, so it's a 18.
Okay, that hits. So you awkwardly take your big great axe and you kind of just like slash at his shoulder as you clutch onto his chest, and roll for damage.
16.
Oh, nice. So he's looking pretty. He's looking a little bloody now. Your great axe is kind of embedded in his shoulder. And he starts to fall a little bit, like that wing isn't working so well. So he starts like spiraling down with you and Puff a bit. So next is Puff.
Okay, cool. So we're still falling?
Yeah, so you're kind of embedded in his feathers as well.
But like on the like on the underside of him? Like he's like...
Yeah, because he like charged you and like hit you with his wings and chest and like pushed you off the ledge.
Can I see past him at all? Like can I see the platform above, or am
no,
I just like
really.
Completely underneath him?
You're kind of covered in feathers.
Okay, I'ma pull out my crossbow that I haven't used since the original episode.
I was gonna say, I forgot you had that.
Yeah.
Yep. But I want to push off of him first.
Okay.
To get myself a little bit of ways, and then pull the crossbow off my back.
Ah, oh, sick.
And hopefully the song from 300 starts playing as we
the
slow,
hot gates
as
or whatever that one
fall.
Is yeah
or whatever.
Yeah, exactly like that.
It's this like is some, so epic.
And then
as you hit a fadeaway Jay.
Yeah.
is there anywhere you'd like to aim specifically
at his tiger heart?
At his Toiger heart. All right.
Yes.
Cool. Okay. So you pull your crossbow out and you take aim and roll for attack.
Crit 20.
Oh, oh
nice. Hey. Damn.
Straight and true. And that is a 1d8, which I will double. Oh, fuck. I'll double it to 4.
Disappointing.
It's a beautiful move. You hit him straight, but you accidentally used the rubber arrow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes, ow.
Boing. So, but that was like, it was like a powerfully accurate shot. So you hit him directly in his heart and he like spins over and screams. And so he spins over and you hear like another few lightning bolts hit in the distance. And you start to see a flash of light in front of you. And everyone who's off the edge, make a dexterity saving throw.
17.
21.
All right. So you guys see the flash of light, but you're able to like push away from the bird as it comes crashing down. You see the bird like roll over and this crossbow bolt is just embedded in its chest. And the lightning bolt comes down and just hits the bolt straight in its heart. And the bird just like, his like feathers explode off of him. And you see all the smoke and there's just this giant scorch mark in its chest where the lightning bolt came and contacted with the bolt. And it looks like really bad. So it just, it like loses consciousness. And it starts falling down below you into the waters below.
I thought you were going to say a giant cooked chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, chicken on our hands.
It looks like a giant. That would be better. So the lightning like, bolt strikes it.
Grim, don't end this. Let me eat this one. Don't end
it. I need to try Eagle Tiger.
I want that to be part of this so badly. Yeah, it hits and it looks like a giant cooked chicken. and it starts falling towards the water,
a great
smoking and perfectly
end
roasted
to everybody.
Yeah. and
that's
yeah,
sweet.
You
and Orc dives with his mouth wide open, but he's got Featherfall.
Yeah,
he's just reaching after him.
I'm like swimming
no!
towards
it.
Follow the
your
giant
nose.
Turkey leg. So yeah, you see that the landscape disappears and you're back in the gridded room and Yenri, you're flying up kind of high in the room and Ork and Puff, you're just slowly falling towards the floor flailing.
And I fly back down to the ground. And I say, you know, I think that's how my Uncle Georgie used to make the Thanksgiving turkey.
Georgie Pennyfoot?
That's right.
So, yeah, everything disappears and you guys are back on the ground and Grim says,
all right, boys, how was that? Was that a little bit harder? Was that a little tougher for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say so.
Definitely ramped up, yeah.
Awesome. I'm so glad to hear that. All right, I'm going to come let you guys out.
And so he walks around to the edge and you hear the lock on the wheel door unlock and open up and Grim is staying there. He's like, man, I collected a lot of good data from this. It's like, it'd be great to try this again sometime so I can collect more data, but I really appreciate the effort you guys put in. So you guys are free to go. I know that you have a big mission ahead of you tomorrow. Before you head out in the morning, I have a few things I want to give you, so just meet back here and we'll figure everything out. Ooh. Sound good?
Yeah, sounds
okay.
Great.
Perfect. What time is it, Grim?
Oh, it's about 2 p.m. right now.
Perfect.
Okay. Should go get some lunch. I'm craving chicken.
Yeah, sounds great to me.
And with that, you are off to the mess hall in search of fried chicken.
Salamander Man, he's fighting through the dark land. Salamander Man, he's carrying a big-ass sword. Salamander Man, he's fighting through the land, doing everything that a Salamander Man can. Salamander Man, he's fighting the goddamn salamanders. Salamander Man, Salamander Man, Salamander Man, he's fighting the goddamn salamanders.